mom surviving life. Tough questions, real answers, awesome hacks.
You do your... All right, you do your thing then. Do I hit got it? Okay. Do I have to hit got it? It says got it, leave message. Or leave meeting.
No, don't leave the meeting. Just hit got it.
I did that.
Okay. Do you want me to mute you while I read this?
Probably for the best.
All right, hold on. Ah, there we go. Hello, and welcome to Mom Surviving Life. Today, I kicked Carla out, and I'm bringing Shane in. I've known Shane probably about as long as I know Carla, which means these conversations probably are going to get just as weird. As always, please subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you are listening to us on, and please follow us on social media. There you go. You unmuted yourself. Hey. Okay, Shane, introduce yourself.
I'm Shane. I am married to Carla. We have a daughter that is turning 2 in July, first-time parent. Seems to be a lifelong learner.
What do you do for work?
I'm a tool and die maker. I normally work 10-hour shifts, 7 till 5.
Anything else you want to tell us? Hobbies?
Hobbies? I like baseball, volleyball, which we used to do a lot together. But since Ella, we've been trying to make like one day a week throughout the summer to do something together in that matter, instead of doing one time together and a couple of times apart.
Are you ready to get into this?
No, but we will.
So how do you feel about Carla doing this podcast?
I think it's awesome. Like, it makes my life so much easier. And don't get me wrong, like, at times I'm like, don't tell me how to parent. But, like, that's like one time out of probably, like, say, 50. The other 49 times, it's so helpful. Like, I don't know, I couldn't do it without her. And I mean, this... You girls talking and every week, like, gives her other ideas on how to not raise Ella, but like what to do in certain circumstances where I'm just clueless.
I will say, when you were talking to me about the soothers in the crib thing, you were like, this is like ingenious.
Right?
And I was like, yeah, that came from Shanna. Like, I'll own that. I'm not a super parent. I just am like, what do you do? What do you do? And I ask 40 people and then I'm like, ah, this is what you do.
Yeah, like I'm used to being like the fun uncle. So like when like my friends or like my friends' kids or they're my nieces and nephews, like they get upset, I'm just like, cool, I'm fun uncle. Just give them what they want, give them what they want, and then that's the end of it. Well, you can't be fun uncle when you're a dad because the kid doesn't go home after, and you got to go home with her. So now the next day she's like, oh, I can just cry and get what I want. And Carla tells me all the time, like, I'm being played.
Oh, yeah. Has Carla ever posted or shared anything that you didn't want out in the public sphere?
Portraying to the baby?
Portraying to your relationship, events that have happened, Ella, any of it?
Off the top of my head, I don't think so. I'm not big on social media by any means. So, like, I don't know. I don't even follow my wife, so.
Ouch.
But like, I don't. I'm sure there was a couple incidents, but I probably blew them out of proportion. But on the regular, like, I don't go on Facebook much, or like, I don't have Instagram. I don't have
Snapchat.
None of that. I just recently got Facebook when Carla had her surgery. I actually forgot my Facebook password and I couldn't log in. So I just stopped using Facebook a couple years ago. And we recently just started me a new account after Carla had to go into the hospital to get her gallbladder taken out because of COVID. Me and Ella were not allowed to go in and see her after surgery in case something went wrong. So I got a Facebook account so we can actually FaceTime with her every night so she can say goodbye or good night to her.
That's awesome.
So no, I don't. From the top of my head, I don't know if she's ever posted anything that I didn't like.
So you don't listen to our episodes?
I don't. And you know why? Because this is her time with you. I give her this podcast to like speak freely and express herself and her views and opinions. And I don't want to get upset about something she said.
So you're just taking the supportive stance on everything.
Yeah, like I talk to my friends about like, oh my God, my wife did this today. But I mean, I wouldn't want them to go back to her and say, you know what Shane said? It's just kind
Except
of the same.
We're putting this literally into the public sphere. Like anybody can listen to it.
Yeah, but I think if I make one comment about what she said on this podcast, then she would be more questionable what she said next time and not actually state her true opinion or her true thoughts. Because she'd be worried about my reaction on what she said.
Very true.
Like I don't want her to say like, you know what, I don't agree with what Shane did today, and then me hear that and be like, what, you don't agree, and then it starts a fight. Like she should be able to say her opinions and me not get upset about it.
It's a very positive stance to have on this type of thing. Because certain people get mad. They're like, I don't want my wife doing this. I don't want our life to be in the public sphere. And it's like, eh.
Yeah, but everybody needs that that thing that they can vent to or talk about. Like, and I mean, yeah, I know she's talking to you and the rest of the world, but she should be able to be open and not have to question, am I going to get mad at what she's saying?
We will record for 2 hours and I cut about half of it out because we go on tangents.
Yeah.
And there's stories that's like, oh, I got to tell you this, but I'm not like going to tell you this for the public to know.
Yeah.
We do that all the time. The next question I have is, let's talk about your relationship with Carla. But it seems like it's doing well, especially since Ella and the surgery. Yeah.
It's good. Really good.
So let's talk about when you and Carla get into a fight. What happens?
Oh.
Literally, the tagline of this podcast is tough questions, Shane. This is why we have these podcasts.
What happens when we get in a fight? Now? Carla's very smart. So now Carla, we get in a fight. Carla says, like, her side of the fight. And then I usually blow up, state my opinion, and then walk away.
How does it get resolved?
Before, she used to argue with me more and more and more. But when I get to a certain stage, now she's learned to just let me vent and vent until I have nothing to vent about. Until I'm just rambling on. And then a couple hours later, maybe the next day, she lets me realize that I'm being the idiot and then go back and apologize. I love my wife and I love my wife for that reason. And I tell her that. And I'm like, arguing with me is useless. Once I'm at like a certain level, I'm not listening to your side. Just let me ramble on. And then once I'm done, if you don't give me anything else to say, I'll stop. And then a couple hours later, if not the next day, I come back and I'm like, babe, yeah, I'm sorry. And she's like, I know you're wrong, but she knows there's no arguing with me. But that's being in a relationship for so long. You got to know when somebody hits that point.
Well, yeah. How long have you and Carla been together? It's like over 10 years.
Yes. We have different opinions about that because We were together when we were not together. But
okay, when did you and Carla officially start dating? In the very beginning,
we were bowling at Bolero. I don't remember the day.
What year was it?
Before this one. I got married in 2018.
I know that.
Come on, that's an easy one.
You got married when the world was still normal,
right? Say 2015, 16. I'm horrible with dates. Carla messages me all my friends' birthdays and everything. I'm so bad. I love Carla. Put that in there.
I'll make sure I don't cut that part out. Let's talk about how you took on more parenting responsibility when Carla got sick around Christmas. And before we start this question, I would like to make it very clear that not only did I tell Carla to go to the hospital and Carla's mom tell Carla to go to the hospital, you also told Carla to go to the hospital like more than once. Like, we were just being like, you can just, like, sit at home and die, Carla. Like, we all knew that she was not in a good place, but she just refused to go. So how did you take on more responsibility with Carla going for surgery with Ella?
Like, for her gallbladder? Yeah. So because Carla could only lift less than 5 pounds, like, I had to start waking up with her in the morning because our original routine was I would wake up at, say, 6:15. I would get ready, and then I'd go to work. And then Carla would wake up at, say, 7 with Ella, take her to daycare, and then either go to work or come home and work from home because of COVID. But since Carla got sick, then I had to start waking up with Ella and bringing her to daycare before I went to work. And I mean, it was hard at the beginning just because I had to wake up at 5:45 instead of 6:15. And I'm not a morning person to begin with. And neither was Ella. And then
she got that from you.
Yeah, for sure. And then just doing the routine, like bringing her upstairs, like Carla would tell me what to do. And I'm like, oh, I don't need to get her clothes ready or her diaper and her cream ready. And then like a couple days later, I'm like, Carla, this is such a great idea. It makes my life easier. So
right.
I think I just need to start following her suggestions and take them as suggestions instead of not telling me what to do.
The first time she tells you.
Right. Right. Instead of trying to do it my own way and be like, damn it, I've got to go back to doing it her way because it's the better way. Like, she's been doing this for the last 2 years. Like, this is my first week. How do I know better? But then I realized that. And I'm like, yeah, Carly, you were right.
In our first season, we did have a whole episode on routines. So.
And I mean, that's basically what it's coming down to. So now it's a lot easier because now, like before, like Ella was not in the routine of me waking up with her and me changing her and going into my car rather than her car. So like she always mama, 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 mama. So then, and then even when I took her to daycare in my car, we'd let her take her blanket with her in the car, but she has to leave it in the car when we get to daycare. Well, when we're in my car, she doesn't want to leave it in there. And then it's another fight and argument when we're at daycare. Well, there was last week, there was the one day that I took Carla's car because she needed gas so I could get it at Costco. So I took Ella to daycare in Carla's car. And as soon as we pulled up to daycare, Ella grabs her blanket, throws it off to the side, and is like, let's go in. And I was like, you don't do that in my car. But then I got home and I told Carla about this. And she's like, yeah, she's used to my car. And she knows the rules of my car.
What did Carla say? She said she's playing you?
She's playing me. Like, because she knows when she's in mom's car, like, these are mom's rules. So she doesn't care about the blanket. But when she's in my car, like she's trying to see what she can get away with.
Oh, 100%. That's how kids are. That's how my kids are all the time with my mom. Every time they're with grandma, they think that they can push the limits. And now my mom has like put the boundaries in. They're good.
But now like this week, like it's getting a lot better. And now that Carla is coming up and she's able to like help me get her ready for her school and she walks to the car with us and gives her a kiss goodbye. Like, it's not like it used to be. The whole way to daycare was mama, 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 like just crying. But now that she gets to see her in the morning,
she's not as bad.
No. And it's great. And I love taking her to daycare now. And now like, she knows once we get there, her blanket goes off to the side, whether it's my car or not.
Well, but that's just it, right? Like once you get into the routine, you're there. Yeah. And then like, my kids started in a new preschool room and the whole daycare of like, they're burnt out and they're overstimulated and they're up late. Like that started all over again.
But it's nice. Like we just started this like a new system again. That's so I take, now that Carla's feeling better and back at the office. So now in the mornings, I take her to daycare. So Carla gets that couple hours in the morning, like by herself to do whatever she has to do, whether there's something around the house she has to do or personal, or she just wants to relax. And then afterward, Carla picks her up from daycare. So now I come home before them and I get that couple hours to do something around the house or have that personal time. And then we each get that alone time with Ella. But like Carla was saying today, like Ella, now that she's been picking her up this week, Ella, the whole way home is all daddy, 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 daddy. Because she's used to me picking her up for the last couple months.
Exactly. But she's getting back to normal, which is awesome.
Yeah. So we're getting into like a new routine. I'm kind of like, it sucks that Carla had to have this happen to her. But I mean, I don't want to
looking at it positively.
It did a lot more for me. Like it gives me that extra time in the morning with my daughter, where if this never happened to Carla, then we'd still be in the old routine where Carla brings her to daycare, picks her up from daycare, where I love my, even that 20-minute drive and like dropping her off at daycare. Like, I don't know. It's I'm happy this happened and I'm happy that everything worked out.
You're happy that the routine has changed, that you get more responsibility.
Yeah, because routines, people are used to routines and you also get stuck in a routine, if you will. Like, you think like, oh, this is the way it is, so this is the way that works, this is the way that's okay. And I mean, it takes a lot. Like, if this never, like, if the operation never happened with Carla, and I was never to say
forced.
I was like, I was gonna quotation the force to take Ella to daycare, then I probably would have done it 2 or 3 times and be like, Carla, I can't do this. Like, she just screams the whole way to daycare. Like, I can't. But because mm-hmm. I was forced to do it for this last, you know, 4 weeks or whatever, it's now she's understanding this is the new routine and I love doing it.
But because you love doing it, she likes doing it with you because you're happy. Like, kids feed off of your emotions, right?
Yeah. And the way that I see it is I feed off her emotions. Like, because she's happy to be with me, it just makes me love doing it so much more.
Okay. So we've already touched on how your life has changed between you and Carla since you've had Ella. But now that you've also had more responsibility with Ella, do you want more kids?
I do. We've always talked about having more kids. And I mean, if we talked about, like, just to backtrack a minute, like, when she was, like, first born, Carla was off on maternity leave. I had the 5 weeks off of work. And I was always like, well, kids aren't so hard. Like, this is amazing. Like, we're talking about the first 5 weeks of birth here.
Yeah, but that's when your baby sleeps, like, 23 hours a day.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, then after those first 5 weeks, I go to work. But Carly's still working from home. And so I come home and, like, stuff's done. Well, then when Carla's maternity leave went up, it was in the middle of COVID. So now Carla's working from home. And I was like, well, why is nothing done? Like, she's like, well, I worked. I'm like, the baby just lays there. Well, then I ended up breaking my hand. So I was home for another 5 weeks. No, sorry. I didn't break my hand. I had COVID. So I was home for 5 days. It was day two. And I was like, Carla, I will pay somebody to come take our daughter. She is a lot. She is a lot.
You guys only have one.
I know. And I don't mean to make it sound like that, but I remember being home and her just, like, laying there and you just stare at them and like, oh my God, you're so precious and cute. And you want them to wake up and hold your finger. Well, year and a half down the road, I'm not home during the day with her anymore. So my only experience was those first 5 weeks. Well, a year and a half later, it's not the same.
No, it's harder because they move.
And they cry and they want everything they can't have. And then when they get what they can't have, they only want it for 30 seconds and then they want something else. it was a huge eye opener. Like, I don't know, I'm a guy. So I think like guys are like hands on and you can't tell them the way it is. Like, they have to, like, experience it for themselves. Cause Carla would tell me all the time, she's a lot. Like, I couldn't do, like, da da da. Like, she's a lot. I'm like, how much, she's tiny. Like, how much can she be? And she did it for a year and a half. It took me 2 days to, like, Carla, she's a lot. And Carla's like, I know.
Our next door neighbors, they have 4 kids. And we always laugh because when we get together, I'm like, why is this easier? Why is 6 kids easier than 4 and 2? And she's like, I don't know. If we weren't done, I would say I want to have more, but, like, I don't want any more.
We've agreed on we're starting to try for another one real soon.
Fingers crossed.
But if it's a boy, then we'll talk about a third. If it's a girl, we're done. There's already enough estrogen in the house and I'm already outnumbered. I don't need a women's softball team.
How did you bond with Ella? Like, as a mom and someone who's breastfed, like, the bond is totally different. But how did you build a bond with Ella?
So that was actually Carla's doing. So she would actually pump and let me bottle feed her at nighttime. So she would breastfeed during the day and everything and then pump. So then I could have my alone time and bottle feed her before bed.
How else did you bond with her? Like, did you have, like, special daddy-daughter time? Or was there, like, a responsibility in the first year that was solely yours? Or
I would just be wild and crazy, just dancing with her and putting on, like, picking her up and, like, spinning around and just make, like, daddy-daughter dances. Like, When I first found out that we were having a girl after a gender reveal, like, there was an entire night where I don't know where Carla was, but I just put on YouTube and put on Daddy Daughter songs and just listened to them and literally bawled my eyes out to all of them. And then, yeah, so now our big thing is we dance, and like, our biggest thing is like, we'll dance to You Are My Sunshine.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry saying things like this. That's actually the sweetest thing ever.
That's basically our thing, would just be dancing and running around, or like me, because Carla's got like her back and everything. Like, she can't really get on all fours. And like, my big thing is like getting on her level and like chasing her around like the island of the house, or up and down.
Okay, now we're going to get into the fun questions that aren't so heavy.
All right.
What is the best parenting hack that you have ever found?
She said, "Mama." best parenting hack. So many. Clean up your toys. Give her the chance to clean up. I don't know if that's a hack. I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Well, that is a good one. Teach her to pick up her own toys. Okay. What is the best parenting product that you own?
Again, Mama.
that you own, Carla, you don't own.
Well, I'm married, and she gets half my stuff if we get divorced, so. The best parenting product that we own? Like, what do you mean? Like a cream, or?
Yeah, like a Noza Frida, or a breast pump, or bottles, or a specific soother. Like, what is the best thing that you bought for Ella that's like, that you own?
So, I think for me, that would be her bum cream, but it's actually not baby's bum cream.
What is
it's actually elderly bum cream for elderly people who wear diapers or have bed sores. You can get it at Shoppers over the counter, but it works a lot better than a baby's bum cream. And it was somebody at daycare that mentioned it to Carla, and I find it just works great.
We'll post a link to that bum cream on our Instagram. What is the best advice that you have received, and who was it from?
Just be your own parent. And I mean, Carla's the one that told it to me. Like, this is our first baby together, and we've been called textbook parents. We've been told you don't do it like that, or you got to do it this way, by like strangers or like friends, like aunts and uncles at like a Christmas or something. Best advice that I've ever got was just, you're not doing it wrong, you're just doing it different.
I've definitely heard Carla talk about the textbook parent thing.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know what that means still. Like, you're there's doing so many,
like, by the book. And I'm like, which book? There's like 5 million of
right?
them.
Right? Every book has something. And who reads books anymore? Look at the internet. Like, who buys books?
There is a whole secret community on Facebook that is just mom groups that you are not a part of, that Carla and I are a part of, and we read everything.
Yeah, like, there's no right or wrong way to raise it. I mean, there is a wrong way, but like, there's different ways. Like, every child's not the same, right? but yeah, like, that's probably the best advice. Like, don't worry about what people say. Like, you're not doing it wrong, you're just doing it different than them.
You're doing it the way that is most effective for your child.
Yeah. And the way that's most effective for my marriage and my wife.
Okay. What is the worst parenting advice that you have received? And if you can, who did you receive it from?
The worst parenting advice I got.
Like, someone's giving you advice and you're just like, no, that is terrible advice. I would never do that. Like, some of my worst parenting advice is, like, for potty training, it's like, oh, just let them sit in it. And I'm like,
Like, it'd be like, just let them cry, or.
Yeah, like, advice like that you're like, no, that's never going to work.
No. Or they fall down, and like, oh, they're fine. Like, just, no, they're not. Like, if you just go.
For Carla's kid, they're never fine when they fall.
Right?
Okay, so. That is the end of the interview that we have, but we are going to come back for our highs and lows. Shane, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast and enduring being grilled as a parent, as a dad. Hopefully we didn't make you too uncomfortable.
A little bit.
And when I say we, Carla's not here, but I'm just so used to saying we to guests. Okay, Carla is back, and we are going to do our highs and lows. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I'm the guest.
Okay.
Of honor. For this week, are we doing highs or lows first?
Whatever you want.
So for this week, my high was, this has been the first week of me taking Ella to daycare that she's actually been happy in the morning and like happy in the car and like happy for me to bring her into daycare rather than it's been in the past weeks by her just wanting mama, mama, mama. It just melts my heart now. Like instead of me feeling guilty, her crying the whole way to school, wanting mama, like I just felt like if I could give it to her, like I would have. But my high is definitely her wanting dada, dada, dada. And I love it and it melts my heart and I look forward to it every night. Like that's what I look for. I'm not a morning person, but I look forward to mornings now for sure. And my low is one thing I said I'd never do, and that is let work get in the way of missing one of her events, which happened this week. I had to go to another shop for work, and ended up getting stuck at the shop, and I ended up missing her swimming lessons on Tuesday, and it broke my heart. It was the first time it happened, and I swear it would never happen, and it did, and I promised myself that, or I not promised, but I told myself that it's okay if it does happen, as long as it's not a routine. If it happens, like, you know, once every few months, like things happen, and I get it, but don't make it a routine to start missing things and then make it excuses for it to be okay to miss those things, because I just feel like me and Kyle talked about it, and it's very easy to fall into a routine where you can make excuses to not be there because the other parent's there or because work happened or this came up.
Yeah. I don't know what it's like to lean on the other parent, but I can definitely attest to the work came up. It's like, no, nope, not happening. But then again, what were you supposed to do? Take an Uber from your job site to the swimming pool?
Yeah.
Actually,
I love you, Erica. Okay, I love you.
See, that's a dedicated parent right there.
All right, so I'm going to go next just because I'm going to piggyback on Shane's. So my low is doing swimming lessons alone. It was a lot for my first swimming lessons. It was the first day of being told that I can do more, although I've been doing a lot, but swimming lessons was a lot by myself without help. Our friends were there, but they were late and they didn't really help after. They just waited for us. So it was kind of hard, but we got through it. Came home to daddy.
Not going to lie, you sent me a picture. You're like, mom, fail. And it was literally just Ella in a swim bathing suit. And I'm like, did you pop a boob? Like, I'm not understanding where the mom fail was.
I also forgot to pack a bathing suit for Ella, so she was just in a swim diaper.
My kids have legit just gone swimming in the pool with just nothing on. I'm like, well, you're going in naked, so I don't care.
So that was my low, and then my high. Yeah, this guy. Shane wants to be my high. He's always my high. He's done so much in the last couple of weeks. I don't know what I would have done without him, honestly. And I spoke in the last couple of, in last week's episode about how much he's done in the last couple of weeks while I was recovering from surgery. So they already all know. And now they got to hear from you today anyway.
Yeah.
From you.
Yeah, but that's how easy it is for me because of, you two girls.
I'm not going to lie.
Ooh, can that be my, parent hack? You two doing this pod, you said, how do I feel about doing this podcast earlier? I don't know
yeah.
the difference, but it's you two doing this and talking to each other makes my life so much easier and interviewing different people and getting different outlooks. I'm a first time parent, and Erica, you're a huge part of raising our daughter, whether you're here or in London. I want you to know that. And thank you, and I love you for it.
You're gonna make me cry.
You make my life so much easier and Carla's life so much easier.
Oh, you got to her.
And I don't
almost got me with the other question.
I don't think we could be such great parents without you
and all your great wisdom that you've already endured.
It's not even mostly my wisdom. It's like stuff that I've gathered from other people.
Yeah, but you're the one I talk to get the information from.
Yes, but I'm also the person that like is on all of those mom sites like reading stuff.
And that's why, like, I don't, like, again, like, that's why I don't listen to the podcast, because whatever's happening works for us, and I don't want to screw that up.
You don't want to mess with the chi?
No. I don't want to get off one night and like get mad at one thing she said, but thank you for helping raise our daughter from afar, because you are a huge influence on the way we parent. You're amazing. And I tell Carla all the time, I don't know how a single parent can do it by themselves, because I never could, let alone
I'm not by myself. I am not by myself. I have a massive support from Carla, who's like one of my sounding boards. My mom, who is literally there every day. My dad helps out beyond what, I'm not gonna lie, my dad helps out more with my kids than he did raising us.
But don't take anything away from yourself.
I know, but I gotta give credit where credit's due.
You do, but you gotta take credit when credit's given to you. Erica, you're fucking amazing, and I love you.
Love you too, Shane. I can't tell if Carla's crying. She's wearing a face mask.
I'm not.
No, she looks like she's gonna kill me and then jump through the computer and kill you.
This is my paper night. I'm pampering myself.
Yes, I finally get a chance to tell the world thank you for helping us.
Oh.
Even though we don't see you every day, you're definitely helping us raise our child.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to cry.
I'm pretty sure, like, for the first, like, what, 6 months of this podcast, we cried on every episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it took a hot minute for us not to cry every episode.
Yeah. Well, the first few were a lot. Getting through our pregnancy stories and stuff. So it was understandable.
We had to totally re-record that episode, too. It was crap. We were all over the place. I was like, hey, we can't do this. Like, we need to write this down.
Yeah. All right. What are your highs and lows once you pull yourself back together?
I'm going to start with my low, which you both already know about this, but I have cut my grandma off. I'm no longer reaching out to her. I'm no longer reaching out the olive branch. I'm kind of done. Like, I would love to build and work out the relationship with her, but I'm just kind of, I'm exhausted trying to make it work. Like, the straw that broke the camel's back for me was that she called me stupid, and I'm still struggling with that. It bothers me. And I know it shouldn't, because I know I'm not stupid, but it's hard.
We already got her emotional, and now she can't get out of it.
I'm a crier, though. Let's be honest. I cry a lot.
You're allowed to be upset because you're doing something so...
One person's opinion doesn't define you.
No, but you're being so strong in making the decision to cut a family member out of your life because they are not making it better. They are making your life worse. So why keep someone in your life who only makes it worse?
And like, this decision, I did not come to lightly. Like, this was, I talked to my therapist and I have talked to you about it. I've talked to Cass about it. Like, I've talked to so many different people, and everybody just keeps coming back to the same conclusion of, if she wasn't your grandmother and she did this, would you continue a relationship? The answer is no. And it's not easy to do that. It's very hard. It's very difficult because there's other people in my family that just don't get it. And they're like, I don't understand how you can just cut her out. And I'm like, because she's hurting me. And when I told her that she's hurting me, she didn't care.
Yeah, and that's not okay.
No. So that is my decision. If she wants to reach out and repair the relationship, she's more than welcome to do so, but I don't see it happening.
Well, gotta do what's best for you.
If you don't see it happening, then maybe it's for the best, right?
Well, I, you know, her sister reached out to me and she goes, you can't just cut her out. And I said, well, I'm not essentially cutting her out. I'm just not going to try and have a relationship with her anymore. And for her, that doesn't mean a relationship with me. So I'm kind of done. Like, I'm no longer going to return her phone calls and unless she shows up at my doorstep, and I don't want to talk to her. So
I think it's completely fair.
Yeah, it's just going to be negative like that. What's the point of having a relationship? I mean, if you could talk your parents into selling us like an acre of land or something, we can build a house right next to you. See, our kids can grow up together.
I've already told Carla, you guys should just come to Lucan and buy like a duplex and then we can just be neighbors. I'll just rent from right you.
We could build a duplex and we could live in the duplex. You on one side, us on the other side.
I need to get a pilot's license so I can drive to work every day.
We could have to fly.
So well, that's...
fly
oh my god, we license. Could literally build beside the Lucan Airport and you could just fly to work every day.
Yeah, there we go.
My high is that I helped Cass move.
Yay.
She is no longer in a poopy relationship with a jerk face. Because this is a PG-13 podcast and I want to say other things. She's happier now. She has better mental health. She also listened to the episodes that we just released on organization and she's doing that, which something that I did not mention in that episode that I want to caveat into with this is when she was moving, I implored the Marie Kondo method of only two things in your hands when you get overwhelmed, that you can only pick up two things and deal with those two things and then put them away and come back and grab two more things, which people don't understand how it's such a simple concept, but it helps so much. Because she literally had to divide a house in two and then move her entire house into a two-bedroom apartment. Which was trying. And I'm not going to lie, her living room is a bit crowded. But she has this, wonderful, super comfy purple couch that I could totally sleep in when I stay there.
What do you mean pick up two things and move those?
So when you're in a room and there's, 4 million things, you pick up two items and you put those two items away. And then you come back to the pile of, stuff and pick up two more items.
Oh, so instead of picking up stuff, moving it to the island and then going back and starting little piles around now.
Yeah.
I do
that. You pick up two things and you put those two things away completely and then you come back and pick up two more things.
Oh, so I divide the pile into little piles. But it makes sense because then those little piles stay little piles and then the next day they become a big pile again.
And then they just grow. Yeah. No, this is getting rid of the pile entirely, that you've put it back where it goes.
Something new.
Clean up. Because the big pile is clean now, but now you have a bunch of little piles on the counter or by the stairs or...
I can see Shane.
But then you're done because the big pile is clean.
Picking up all of his tools.
Right, but the big pile is clean, but now the island's dirty, and you're just whatever, the floor's clean.
No, I saw you guys organizing and everything, and buying organizers and trying to get her house all organized now.
Yes, she's slowly but surely getting there, and I'm very happy to say that she's set up for a path to success. The two item thing, she got really mad at me. At one point, it was Sunday morning. We're both exhausted because we were up to 1 in the morning putting her stuff away because the movers were late. And then we were supposed to go to Toronto to go to a Dollarama there. We couldn't find the shoe racks that I wanted from Dollarama to organize her stuff. So that ticked me off. So we're trying to get everything organized. We can't find half of the stuff that I want to buy to organize her house, which just annoyed me. So I'm like, okay, we'll deal with it. We'll figure it out. Slowly but surely, we're getting stuff put away. And then I'm like, it's 1 in the morning. The next day, we're both so tired and we're organizing her closet. And she had 7 different things she had put away. I'm like, take these two and go. She's like, no, I can take more. I'm like, just take them and go. 2 things at a time. She's like, I can do more. I'm like, I know you can do more. But 2 at a time or you're going to get overwhelmed and not be able to deal with it.
What? You. What about me?
I can do it. Get it all.
Yes, but if you take two things, you can actually focus on what these two things are and where they go. It's a novel concept.
And that's different. That's
it's so simple. It's oh my God.
Yeah. That's different. That's putting stuff away versus trying to carry all the groceries in the house in one go. Because I would totally do that.
And then fall.
Yeah. And hurt myself in one way or another.
And then I have a high / a low. This is my third weekend. This Mother's Day weekend is my third weekend that is packed. And then the next weekend, I'm going back to Hamilton to help Cass further put everything away. And we're supposed to, like, do stuff. And then the next weekend is my birthday weekend.
Yay!
And I'm doing literally nothing because I don't want to do anything for my birthday. Because what I want to do is a pool party where I invite all my friends over for the weekend. And we hang out by the pool, which we don't open our pool until June. Yes, you're invited. Shane, you too. You've already reserved Carla, this bedroom. What?
I said you could have said Carla, you too.
Shane and Carla and Ella are also invited. This is the room that you have reserved, which I'm in right now. I just have to clean it out because it's full of, like, boxes of baby clothes.
Oh, you gotta talk to Carla about that kind of birthday party.
You can behave every once in a while.
Well, there will be people here that don't have kids, so.
But you will have kids.
Oh. Where yeah, are you in your bedroom?
No, she's not in our bedroom.
Oh. I thought you were in your room and you're like, you guys can stay in here on my birthday. And I was like, we're gonna have a threesome.
This bedroom has like a whole bunch of like stuff in it.
Okay.
That's where we stayed.
This is my office.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time. We have ended the podcast.
Let Shane do it.
He won't read.
I will read. I just read very slowly. And...
Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. We appreciate all the support. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the podcast. Jump over to our social media for links about all the stuff we just talked about. We want to hear from you. Send us a DM or an email. See you on the 15th.